بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. InshaAllah, today in Masjid al-Salihin we discuss about the importance of Sunnah. First of all, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Iman, and we praise Allah jalla majdahu for blessing us with Islam, and we praise Allah ta'ala for making us the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salatu wa sallam. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we classify ourselves and we say we are from the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. By saying we are from the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat, we are saying clearly that we utilize the Quran, the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as expounded by him, and Ijma is called consensus of opinion, especially the consensus of the Sahaba Ikram and the Mujtahideen. And Qiyas means Shari and logical reasoning as stipulated, the conditions stipulated by the Mujtahideen. As far as Sunnah is concerned, just as we have got an act, any act that we do, that act can be good or that act can be bad, and we have to classify that action. Similarly, technically speaking, the Sunnah in the light of Sharia, when we look in the Quran, you will find there a Sunnah, that which is supposed to be followed. You will find two types: the Sunnah of the people of good and the Sunnah of the people of bad. Throughout the history of Islam, you will find in Quran Kareem Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the various Anbiya alayhi salam, and you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Musa alayhi salam and his Sunnah. And diametrically opposite to him, you will find that Musa alayhi salam is faced with Firaun. And Firaun is what his Sunnah, which is evil, which is bad, which is going towards Jahannam. There you will find Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and his Sunnah. And opposite him you will find Nimrod with his Sunnah, which is bad and evil and going to Jahannam. So in every time and era you will find there is good and there is evil. In the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you find Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acting and directing, and he's telling the public what to do, and that is absolutely the good Sunnah. Whereas opposite him, you will find all the enemies of Islam, the Kuffar, the Mushrik, Abu Jahl al-Fati, Abu Lahab al-Fati, Utba, Shayba, all of them telling the people the wrong thing. So one, now we have got this broad aspect of Sunnah. Then we have got a jurisprudic Sunnah. The jurisprudic Sunnah is different from a normal Sunnah. Sunnah meaning a path, a way, a pattern, a norm, something that is done to be followed. as I have explained, that there are two ways. One is the good and one is bad. Now, jurisprudently speaking, you will find that it differs. And I would like you to understand the jurisprudic classification. For example, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah Jalla Manzahu, He sent down 124,000 Anbiya. And every Nabi had a beard. Every Nabi had a beard. So what you will hear from the member, an absolutely correct statement, that the sunnah of the Anbiya is to have a beard. Meaning that every Nabi had a beard. But, jurisprudently speaking, the beard is not sunnah, the beard is wajib. It is sunnah of the Anbiya. Why? Because every Nabi had it, it was normal, it was a pattern, it was the way. But, jurisprudently speaking, the beard is wajib. Just like the witr salat is wajib, keeping of the beard is wajib. Respected elders, to understand this difference, and the sunnah will be, for example, the beard, to keep it a fist length, and it's haram to shave it or to trim it less than the fist. That is why sometimes you feel, no, the Molanas are stressing too much of the beard. No, we're not stressing, we're saying that it is the sunnah of the Anbiya, but jurisprudently it is wajib. And for wajib, you are going to be accountable for it, punishable for it if you don't do it properly. Now, in sunnah will be what Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did, and he did constantly, and he did regularly, and he encouraged others to do it. Respected elders, that's why you will get now sunnah al-Muqidah, sunnah al-Ghair Muqidah, you will get sunnah al-Zawaid, you will get sunnah al-Zaidah, and sunnah al-Arizah, all that you will get. But generally, you know sunnah al-Muqidah, sunnah al-Ghair Muqidah. And for you, that is good enough. Respected elders, understand something, that on one side you will get sunnah, and the other you will get hadith. Now, we say we are from the Ahle Sunnat wal Jama'ah. Not anything else. We are not Ahle Quran. We are not Ahle Bidah. We are not Ahle Hadith. We are not Ahle Hawa. We are not Ahle Right. We are not people of the opinion. We are not people of views. We are not the people of innovators. We are not the people of the Quran. We are not people of the Hadith. But we are the people of Sunnah. Understand something here. You must have studied trigonometry sometimes in your day. You get circles. You get one circle and you get one circle inside that circle. So the big circle is sunnah. And inside this circle, which is big, is small, is the hadith. Understand it from another way. That the hadith does not encompass the sunnah. The sunnah encompasses the hadith. Understand it from another angle. See, for example, many people are under the impression that hadith came before sunnah, whereas this is not true. So because we lack education, a good education, a proper education, then we make some fundamental errors sometimes. See, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came, he taught Sahaba Ikram the deen, and then towards the latter part of the Sahaba, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi was born. And he saw physically visually the Sahaba. According to others, he saw many Sahaba. So from that time, the science of fiqh, the science of jurisprudence started coming into activation. So the jurisprudence, masala masail, rules, regulations, laws, that started right to the latter part of the Sahaba. It started codification, ramification, science of jurisdiction came, the science of jurisprudence came, the principles of jurisprudence came, the codification came, and the how to make the laws, how to extract the laws, how to come about the laws, all that started already. Then, when that was already in full flight, and that was already procedure and that was already happening. Then came these hadiths. Then came Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Alayhi officially to codify. But remember, prior to him, his Ustaz Ibn Shaybah Rahmatullah Alayhi etc. already started writing the hadiths. But historically, and the right word is chronologically speaking. That means history in time-wise. History in time-wise, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba Ikram, towards the latter part of Sahaba Ikram, came the Fuqaha, the Juro consultants, and then came the Muhaddithin. Understand that very clear. That is why if you have to tell a person, that is, see, if a person says, no, we must follow the Hadith, you say, no, we have to follow Sunnah. Because in the Hadith, you cannot tell a person where his word first came. Wajib. Sunnah Mu'afidha. Sunnah Ghair Mu'afidha. For example, in the Hadith, it will come that he must make 4 rakat of Salat before Zuhur Salat. It will just say 4 rakat of Salat. But who classified it? Who classified it? Sunnah Mu'afidha. Who classified it? The Fuqaha, the Juro consultants, the Imams of Fiqh classified. So everything in Sharia, what they mean, for example, Etika, Sunnat al-Mawqidah al-Kifaya, who classified it like? Who made this classified? Like Salat al-Janaza, that is in Farz al-Kifaya. Who made this classification? No way in the Hadith you will find that Salat al-Janaza is Farz al-Kifaya. No way in the Hadith you will find there's etiquette of Sunnat al-Mawqidah al-Kifaya. No way. No one will be able to show you. So, also understand that the Hadith, we do not practice upon all the Hadiths. So you get a little worried. Similarly, we do not practice upon all the Sunnah. Again, you will get worried. For example, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his stages, in the Hadith, he made wuzu, then he kissed his wife, and then he came and made imamah. Now that is the Hadith. Now we don't do this all the time, we do this all the time. Otherwise you'll be busy, isn't it? So you don't do this all the time, but kulli, gargling of the mouth in wuzu, if someone tells you, you know what, leave the gargling. You say, no, I'm not prepared to leave the gargling. Gargling is sunnah. But this other one here, that he kissed his wife, after he made wuzu, he kissed his wife and he came. Now, although you like to do it, but sometimes wife is not available and you're not available. And then if you're going to do all that, you're in trouble after that. You're not going to make it most of the time for the salah. Respect the elders. But it's in the Hadith. It's in the Hadith, we don't do it. It's in the Hadith, you are facing Jerusalem. But we don't do it. It's in the Hadith that in Bukhari, it comes that he performed salah with shoes on. Here, understand something, but what is the method? Who performs salat with shoes on these days? No one performs salat with shoes on. So the pattern is, without shoes we make salat. But in Bukhari, the Hadith is clear, he performs salat with shoes on. Respect to the elders, and if a person says, oh, I only want to follow Bukhari, then the simple thing is, tell him in Bukhari, show me one Hadith that he performs salat without shoes. He performs salat without shoes, no Hadith available. But the whole ummah of his, the Rasul Salaam's ummah, we are performing salah without shoes. Similarly, I said, all the sunnah we don't act upon. Okay, in the Hadith also, it comes, Nabi Akram Salaam, the wife fasting, he kissed his wife. So we say, no, you must take it easy, don't do this if you don't have control, otherwise you will spoil your fast. Something will lead to something else and you will in trouble. But if a person did not kiss his wife while she is fasting, his fasting is valid. Although it is in the Hadith, he did it. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had so many wives. Now, obviously it is in the Hadith, it is in the Sunnah, he had so many wives. For us, we don't have to. We do not have to have 9 wives, 11 wives, all that. We don't have to. He had them all also. At one stage, he had more than 4 wives. It's illegal for us to have more than 4 wives at one time. What we are saying, follow the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in that sunnah, which is classified, we follow that. Now, respected elders, when we hear this from the member, that we have to follow Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have to love the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have to adhere to the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all in a positive manner. Positive manner meaning, and then we narrate to you one, two stories. And I also narrate to you one, two quick stories. For example, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, there is, when he was going between Makkah and Medina, and at that time, at the latter time, part of his age, he lost his eyesight. So when he reached a certain part in the journey, he lowered his head. When he lowered his head, the Sahaba asked him, who were around him, "Why is this?" He said, "When I traveled with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then here, he lowered his head. Why he did that? There was a branch coming across the road, and in order to avoid the branch, he lowered his head." So Sahaba told him, "The tree is not there, the branch is not there, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not here. What are you doing?" He said, "No, out of love for him, because he did it, I'm doing it." Then in the same journey, he went away, and he did like he passed his urine. They told him, "What are you doing?" He said, "No, at this time, at this place, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there, he passed his urine. I went and did like I passed his urine. But actually, I cannot do that act because I don't want my urine to fall where the urine of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." This is love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ijlis," in the majlis, in the masjid. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala who got one foot in the masjid, one foot outside the masjid, he stood up. Because the statement reached his ears, sit down. There is no question like how you and I do this. And I address myself first. That when we get commands of Allah Ta'ala and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we have to cut and measure and trim it. Then when it suits me and it suits my family, then when it suits my brain, then I want to follow it. See, Sahaba, why the Sahaba? Because they never think. As soon as the command reached, sit, sit down. Miraculously, this ijlis reached Abdullah ibn Rawah radiallahu ta'ala, and he was irrigating his field. As soon as it reached him, he sat down. And the beauty is, he sat in the water, not worried my clothing is going to get spoiled. No. He just sat down. Why? Command of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached his ears. When command reached, he sat down. Now, respect the elders, understand. These are all now moving in positive directions. But there is one other aspect which I would like you to understand. There, in Muzdalifah, for example, in Muzdalifah, there is no Tahajjud Salat. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam afforded him was Witr Salat wajib, Miswak was wajib, and Tawajjud Salat was wajib. But in his entire life, he never missed Tahajjud except in Muzdalifah. Shawalillah Devi Rahmatullah alayhi wa sallam in Balina, right? Why he did that? Because the next day is busy day. Those of you who have been to Hajj, you know that. Those who are full, you are going, Allah Ta'ala make it easy. And those who never go, Allah Ta'ala takes all of us to Hajj. Respect the elders. So why next day what is it? Rami or Kamara, big one. Then he would go and make Dhamma Shuka. Then he would make Halak. Then he went to Makkah to make Tawaf and Ziyara. Then you coming back from Makkah to Mina to stay. So many things. So Allah, being very busy, he says, rest in Muzdalifah, rest, take it easy. Now, we tell the public, make intention, that Ya Allah, I'm not making Tahajjud Salat, because beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not make Tahajjud Salat, you will get reward for not doing something. You get reward for not doing it. There are two ailments in our society, in the country, worldwide. One is something that is substantiated, people are beginning to deny it. And one is something that is not substantiated, people want to do it. And we are saying that which is substantiated, do it. That which is not substantiated, don't do it. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated here, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa'i ar-rashidin al-mahdiyin. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, what Sahaba has done, they are criteria for us for right and wrong, Islam and not Islam, truth and falsehood. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you hear this hadith all the time, khayra quruni karni, thumma alladhina yalunahum, thumma alladhina yalunahum. That my time is the best, and the subsequent one, and the subsequent one. And where it ends? Till the year 220 AH. all the good people who did actions up to the year 220 AS, that is the time period spoken about in that hadith, we will accept as proof in Sharia. If we can say it was done during this period of 220 AS from the year Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we say it is part and parcel of Sharia. Now, you know, two examples are complete. One person tells you, oh, see, Azan usual. Last part of Azan is La ilaha illallah. Someone tells you, oh, eh, Muhammadur Rasulullah. What do you say? No, no. Sometimes they say, you must add Muhammadur Rasulullah. It's part of the kalima, isn't it? And then you take out Fazail Kitab and show you what is the fazilat of reading Durood upon Nabi Akram Salaam, a very big text kitab. Say, no. Fazail is there, but Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say Muhammadur Rasulullah after the last statement of Hazan, because he did not do it, we not doing it. One person say no, that after Salatul Janazah, big dua. Say no, Salatul Janazah is the dua. You don't have to make a dua for the dua. And the most important reason, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajmain, they never make the dua. Why must we make the dua? May Allah ta'ala grant us all of us understanding of deen. Deen is very easy, don't make it complicated. Perform on what is proven, leave out on what is not proven. And Allah ta'ala grant us ability to be with iman, stay with iman, die with iman. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.